Hello, welcome everyone to day 8 of the Fearless Woman of Faith 28-day challenge. You know, it's really easy for me to remember what day it is because it corresponds to the day of the month. How cool is that? And I really felt like that was what the Lord said to me to do it in February. There's 28 days normally. So we have, we're tracking with February becoming a Fearless Woman of Faith speaker in February. And really setting the bar high for you to really see what God has called you to, that this is something that is part of your identity, that's part of your inheritance, as part of what Jesus died to provide for you. So if you've been tracking with us in these last 8 days, you know that we have had guest speakers on who are sharing part of their story, as well as sharing with you nuggets of revelation truth that God has given them to help them step into their calling and be fearless in the face of whatever it is that tries to hold them back so that they can fulfill the call of God on their life. And that's my heart for you, that you would begin to recognize, identify, and then begin to take action. Begin to identify those things that are holding you back and then take action with faith to step into the calling that God has in your life. You know, a few years ago, actually about a year and a half ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to call the women out of the cave and into their calling. Call them out of the cave to step into their calling. Many of you have been hiding, holding back. The enemy has been lying to you, but also the enemy has been making you feel like that is okay. That's okay that you need to, because you're introverts or they're whatever it might be. But guess what? When you have the Spirit of God in you, you need to stand. You need to stand and allow God to use you as a mouthpiece for his wisdom, for his glory, for his transformation. And you don't need to hide, because you don't need to be ashamed of anything. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and he is the one that wants to use you. So all of that to say that you are here for the reason, and you're here at the right time. So let me introduce to you my guest today, who's going to help you understand the power of your story. Now, Wendy Walters is an author, she's a ghostwriter, and an editor with a gift for wrapping language around experience, concepts, and ideas. She's a speaker, a coach, a consultant. Wendy has a gift for helping others connect with what the Spirit of God is whispering to their hearts and pulling it across the membrane of the soul to give it speech. Anyone here hear the whisper of the Spirit of God in your heart about maybe something he's wanting you to write about, speak about, a message, a mission? Tune in. He wants to help you to bring that into fruition. Wendy's candor is refreshing, and she carries authenticity with such effortless grace that those around her are encouraged to step bravely into genuine vulnerability and find healing and liberty in that release. So without further ado, let me welcome to the stage Wendy Walters. Hi, Wendy.
Thank you. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me on today.
You are so welcome. So Wendy is coming to us from Texas. And I always say, I don't know if I told you this, Wendy, but where I live in Alberta, it's the Texas of Canada.
So God's country. I get it.
Exactly. You got it. God's country, rich with resources, very, very strong in certain values compared to the rest of the country. So it's my privilege and honor to have you here today, because I know that you have a message that women need to hear. And that's been part of your journey, I'm sure. And those who are listening, who are right now live, put in the comments where you're tuning in from. We'd love to welcome you. If you're listening to the replay, put replay and let us know where you're tuning in from. And also, I want to encourage you, as you listen to this conversation today, don't be passive. Actively listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you in and through this conversation. Because God doesn't waste time, and we don't want to waste your time.
Amen.
And I know that he wants to speak something to you that's going to ignite maybe a new dream, or a dream that has been laying dormant, or an action step that he wants you to take that is going to create a momentum in your life that you've been longing for. Yes, awesome. Thank you for engaging with us today. Well, Wendy, I would love it if you would share just briefly how you came to do what you're doing today. How did that all come about?
Yeah, it really, like all things, it was a progression that started with things that are even in your childhood that you have an affinity for or a natural gifting for, and a cross time wrapping skill around that. I'm a seventh generation minister and a first generation entrepreneur. So, you know, the word of God and speaking and declaring and writing were always part of the fabric of my childhood growing up. You know, and then as I got into it myself with writing and crafting and creating, and we had a business that began to help ministers and pastors take care of their message as well, to make sure that they were presented with excellence. It's the King's message. We should present it with the King's kind of packaging. And we had gotten into that across time. So now since 2005, we've been helping people publish books and do branding. We do a lot in the corporate world as well. And it's just, there's so much clarity when we can actually find the right words to address the message God has put inside of us, even to address our emotions or whatever it is. Language is such a gift. And so that's always my blessing, to get inside people and help them find the words to communicate what's on their heart.
Wow. And I know that is an area that a lot of women struggle with, is trying to get the exact words, if I can say it that way, because sometimes, and I say this from a place of a recovering perfectionist, you know, wanting to have the exact words. And what do you say about that part?
Yeah. So when I do writing seminars, and I actually have t-shirts made up for everyone that say perfection is the enemy of launch.
So good.
Yeah. So there's a difference. You can operate in a spirit of excellence, which is giving the very best of what you have right now, the best of your attention, the best of your resources, the best of your ability. That's operating in excellence, but releases you from that trap of perfection, which you can't step into anyway. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I meet people and they've had something that they know they're supposed to do or supposed to launch, and they're still years and years and years in because it doesn't feel perfect yet. Or there's a fear, if I put it out, I'll be embarrassed or I'll be judged or whatever that is. So I tell people, you know, just get out there. It's not the end of the world. This is not the only thing you're ever going to do. So babies, when they learn to walk, stumble and fall down. And every single time we step into any realm of new territory, we're going to wobble and we might stumble and we might fall down. We might trip over our words. We might put out something with a typo, and that's okay, because we're putting it out there. It's God who does the multiplication. So, you know, don't let it hold you back that it isn't absolutely perfect, and don't compare it to what other people have at whatever stage they are, because it'll trap you from the freedom to release what God's called you to do.
Yeah, that's so well put. And I always say progress, not perfection, right?
Absolutely.
Just keep moving forward. Small changes, small bits going forward. Now, I know this is something that I hear a lot, because I, as a speaking coach, always really encourage my clients and people who I talk to about speaking, is what is your story and how important your story is to your mission. And I really believe that when you unlock your story, you actually unlock your mission. When I say that, but here's the thing. A lot of women say, well, what part of my story? I've got so many different parts of my story. Where do I start?
Yeah. So that's an excellent question. And obviously our topic today is the power of your story. Your story is, you carry it around with you at all times, whether consciously or subconsciously, your story's coming with you. That's the fabric through which you assign meaning to everything that happens to you. It's the filter through which you hear the voice of God. Everything about your story creates your worldview. It's like glasses that you wear every day that are coloring and influencing the way you take in and release information. So I encourage people to have a very faithful look at their story and recognize that the pieces of it, the good and the bad. I mean, I'm an eternal optimist, But I honor the dark places. I honor the shadows and the hard times. Because think about a painting, vibrantly colored painting. It's the shadows that create perspective. The shadows are what makes the color pop, or it all gets lost. So it's important for us to look at the whole story faithfully, assign meaning to the parts, both painful and positive, so that when we're walking into situations, we have a clear filter that what's coming out of us is clear and not clogged.
I love that perspective. I've never heard anyone say it like that, to give that analogy where the shadows and the painting and everything. That is absolutely beautiful because it adds a dimension, right? It adds a depth and a dimension to your story as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of times people, particularly in Christian circles, we tend to want to polish the pain. We tend to want to present the perfected image or the where I am now. And in doing so, we lose authenticity. You see, look, I'm white haired at 53. That's authenticity is so much a part of my brand, right? That it's okay for us to be exactly who we are at exactly this moment in time. And if I connect with someone, emotional resonance, hey, I went through this really hard thing. And this is where I am now, but this is where I was, and this is how I felt in that. So when we can be really authentic and faithful, it creates an emotional resonance that always reaches the soul. You know, as Christian speakers, we are speaking things of the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Spirit communicates to spirit. But the gateway to get into someone's spirit is their soul. And that's their mind, their will, their intellect. That's their emotions. So when we are faithful with our story, whether that's just an anecdote that highlights a principle that we're talking about, or whether that's testimony that's demonstrating faith and faithfulness and discipline, whatever that is, being really in tune with your story and having assigned meaning to pieces of it and that we can communicate, it will just make you a more powerful communicator in anything you do. But particularly for those of you who speak, you have got to be clear about your story and how it's shaped you and how it's formed you.
I love that. I love that. Let's talk a bit about the whole area of the fragmentation, the integration, and the wholeness.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So part of what I do in coaching is I spend a lot of time reading psychology textbooks for fun because it helps me in coaching. It helps me with it helps me with ghostwriting so I can kind of understand where people are coming from and find their voice. So in that, we have the situation of fragmentation. We all have this. We've got little bits of things that have happened from the time we were in our early childhood until this moment right here. Pieces of our story that are memories, and sometimes memories lie, particularly young memories, because like we have an impression of something, but the memory now has been wrapped around what other people told us happened and the meaning other people assigned to it. And sometimes these things really hold us back. It could create a hook for fear, a hook for rejection, a hook for I'm not enough, a hook for an orphan spirit, all these things from these little fragmented memories that we're not sure how to handle. So that fragmentation are like little bits of data just out there that don't make sense. So what we do is we have to look in the rearview mirror a little bit. You know, we have to have a little hindsight, look back, work through those memories and begin to assign meaning to them. This is what happened. And I can even reframe something that was bad. I can step into that. You know, God promised that all things work for my good. So this thing, maybe I was abused. Maybe there was poverty. Maybe they're bullying, whatever it is, whatever that thing was that was so painful. This works for my good. I can look back at it now and find a way to reframe what that situation was, something very hard or difficult that happened to me. This is what God worked in my life as a result. This is the character I have now, so that we begin to integrate those memories into our story. Think of the picture like a mosaic. And we're in Texas. You go down to San Antonio on the Riverwalk. They have huge walls that are just mosaic. All these little tiny bits of pottery and glass and shards of different colors that if you just looked at them wouldn't make any sense. But now they've been put into this beautiful mosaic. They've been given context. All these little fragmented shards have been integrated into a master picture and design that makes sense. And in essence, that's what we do. God is the one who makes the mosaic. So no matter how broken you are or how fragmented you are, if we can release those pieces, God puts them all in place and suddenly the story makes sense.
That's so good. So assign meaning, attach meaning to that part of the story. Is that what I heard you say?
That's what I'm saying, is that we have to, you know, we look at those things that have happened to us, hard things, even maybe recently, maybe something, betrayal or abuse by a leader, or maybe things we did that we're not proud of. Maybe the way we have handled our spouse or our children, or whatever that is, that we have to look at that and begin to assign meaning to it. So we take back control of the story, so it doesn't control us. We begin to like reframe it.
Can you give me an example, whether it be from yourself or someone else?
Yeah, I can. I actually was working with a woman one time in a seminar, and we just had this creative exercise. I love to get people into creative, and sometimes we have to get them. Sometimes we play with Play-Doh or paint or whatever, just to get them back in touch with creativity so things can come up. And so they were cutting pictures out of magazines that were just supposed to represent their vision and things that they loved and where they wanted to go, kind of vision board. And this one woman, she could not figure it out. She kept cutting out these pink things and tutus and children, little girls, everything was pink. And she couldn't figure out what, I don't know how this fits in my life. I don't even like kids. I don't want to go anywhere. What is going on? Why have I cut out all these pictures? And it came to find out, when we just sat with the Holy Spirit and asked, that she had lost her baby sister when her sister was 5 when she killed. Mm-hmm. And she'd been blaming herself all this time. And her little sister loved ballet. So she cut out all of these pink tutus, and she's just in pain, doesn't know why. Wow. So we prayed, we talked about it, and she took and cut all the pink stuff up and made a frame out of that. And then she was able to find the things that represented her. So instead of this thing holding her back, and I don't even understand why I'm upset, now we've found a way to frame that and be released from that pain and say, okay, it's part of my story. I'm not going to ignore it, but it's no longer got control of me.
Wow.
So she began to assign meaning to where those feelings were coming from. And she had never been able to step into her dream. She was stuck in her baby sister 5-year-old dream. Mm-hmm. And feeling guilty that she had never brought that dream to fruition. Of course, she was not supposed to be a ballerina, and probably her sister wasn't either. But she was stuck there and didn't know why. So that's just a little bit of the exercise that goes back, if you go back with some hindsight. And we actually even have some tools, the free tools, that people can go through, where you kind of do a life history map, and you see the high points and you see the low points, and you faithfully, with the Holy Spirit, assign meaning to what those things are. Mm-hmm. They will powerfully help your message just get stronger.
That is so good. I love that, the aspect of the creativity as well, because there can be a mistaken assignment sometimes if it's not done in a healthy way. Like you said, people can go in a direction that is out of their pain rather than out of that place of wholeness.
Right. Yeah, I often say that hindsight leads us to insight, right? A faithful hindsight leads us to insight. And then once we've got insight and we begin to have meaning, that pushes us to outsight, which is where we really begin to engage with the world and function with our calling. We're not stuck here anymore. You know, I like to say that God awareness, I got this from Mark Sharona, that God awareness leads to healthy self-awareness.
Beautiful.
And any self-awareness that does not lead you to God awareness is self-help, and it's idolatry. Healthy self-awareness should lead you to God awareness, and God awareness should lead you to healthy self-awareness. So we're not just out here with bits of our character hanging out that haven't been solved and resolved. So it's important to take a look at your story. And that story is part of how we are victorious, how we overcome, and how we can connect with people to give them the courage to walk in victory, to step out of whatever trauma they're in or whatever sin they're in or whatever that is. When we can boldly declare where we've come from and where we are today, it gives other people the courage to begin to step out of their pain and their past and walk into a hopeful, positive, possible future.
It is so, so good. Yes, Fanny, it's faithful hindsight gives insight, then outsight.
Correct. Not hindsight leads to insight. Insight leads to outside.
Insight leads outside. Yes, that was a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. It's a lot of sights.
But it's very, very true. And I love how you also reframe that in terms of the self-awareness and the God awareness and the relationship, because it is, it's like being able to become aware of who we are in reflection of who God is in us as well, or who he made us to be, because often we can we can assign to us certain things that maybe are not, that are not truly a reflection of who God is in us. And we won't go into that today, but I really appreciate how you are reframing some of these things in terms of our story and our past, because many women, I find one of the areas that really hold them back is because of the painful past or times where it was traumatic. And yes, you do need to work through that. You need to allow the Spirit of God to heal you, to bring healing in those areas. But they are part of your fabric, the fabric of who you are today.
And that's God, the shadows. That's the shadows in your brightness that give you perspective and depth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They do. They give you a certain perception on life, a certain perspective. Absolutely. And they are to be appreciated, because I believe that's a part of the unique contribution that you bring to the world. You know, I have mentioned this on another day where I remember one time where years back, and I'm like, God, why do I need to tell my story? Like, there's other people telling a similar story.
Right.
And they're like more famous or more eloquent, whatever it might be. Why? It's because my story is different, because it's coming through me. It's coming through my experience and how God wove different things, my personality, all the things that make up who God made me to be. And it's going to be reaching different people than someone else's story who might have a similar story, but they're different because of who they are. And each, it's just like our fingerprint, our eye print, our voice print, all these things are unique that God has given us. I believe that's part of our mission. I really believe that's a contribution that God wants us to bring forth to the world. Like you said, so others can experience the healing.
Have you ever like listened, you know, you're in a worship and, you know, you're singing songs and it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden something happens and this song like transports you straight to heaven. Your spirit comes alive and you're crying and you're weeping. Yes. And what's the difference between lyrics to a song and something that rends the heavens and connects? So here's the powerful piece about your story. It's the same thing. You can read a dozen memoirs that are just interesting stories. And sometimes people get stuck. They just tell their testimony, and it's just a story. What's the difference between when it goes from being my story to being powerful and transformative for the kingdom? The difference is when you get into, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Blood of the Lamb, and that's like a plus sign, the word of our testimony equals the level to which we overcome. So it's when we learn how to apply the blood to our story. So just like Passover, when they had the blood over the doorposts, it gave them protection. The enemy passed over. So when the blood's applied, that story no longer, you can remember it without reliving it. You can remember it without reliving it. The pain is gone. It no longer has the power to harm you. So you got protection. It gave you deliverance. You step into freedom. It gives you hope. They said, there, the Israelites, this will be the first day of the first month of the new year. So when you've submitted your story under the blood, it's like a new chapter, brand new, fresh. And then that's our witness. In the same way that those Egyptians who were not children of the covenant, didn't have a right to the promise, when they came underneath the blood of that person's doorpost, they got all the blessings and benefits. So people who come inside your story get to touch the covenant. Even if they weren't qualified, they come inside your story and the witness is powerful and transformation happens. So that's why I'm so passionate for people to tell their story.
That is so powerful. Yes. And we can take that one step further, because it dovetails into this whole concept of fearless. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loving up their lives
unto death. Yes.
Being fearless to step into that place and to recognize that God has equipped you. I mean, your story is a weapon. It's a weapon against the enemy when it's under the blood, like you said. I believe that's so powerful. I love how you reframed that again. Let me know in the comments what's going on for you right now if you're listening. What are some things that God is speaking to you, some ahas that you're getting, even some questions that you might have regarding this whole area of your story and the power of your story. You know, Jesus was a great storyteller. He used story all the time. To bypass that intellect and get to the heart and the spirit. Awesome. Good. Let me know. Yes. So let's talk a bit more. What else would, is it about story that makes it so powerful? Is there anything else that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I would say, you know, again, when I work with people for writing, first of all, we work about who is our audience, who's our reader, so we can find emotional resonance with them. It's how people relate to each other. We build rapport through stories. You know how you sit with someone and they talk about, I've been somewhere, and they go, oh, I've been there too. And suddenly you have a connection and it lets you go deeper. It's a way that we connect with people authentically. Yeah. It gives them a frame of reference for where we come from. And it allows us, again, to be able to illustrate whatever it is, whatever the message that God's giving you. You know, I spent a lot of years talking about intentionality and being intentional with your life. And, you know, that the when I wrote the book, it's full of the principles, but it's full of the illustrations that come authentically from my life story. And like you said, Jesus was the storyteller. He was like fiction. He was making stuff up because it bypasses, it gets through that soul gate. When we tell a story and there's a resonance and I can go, oh, I understand that. You know, he was telling farmer stories to farmers and they got it. They were on the same wavelength and they could get he who has ears to hear, let him hear, and it could go down deep and do the work. So telling the story is a powerful way for you to release whatever the power of message God has given you. Most of you have a life message. Like, you're going to have a lot of things you talk about, but a lot of you, if I sat with you long enough, there would be something, some kind of thing that would come up in every conversation that you'd end up circling because you're passionate about it. Yeah. Because something about that, it resonates. And everyone who's on that same frequency, you find them in a room, that you find each other. And your story is one of the most powerful ways that you can connect with other human beings and have that community, that koinonia, the fellowship that allows you to break bread, to be the broken bread, to be the way that we ask people, invite, taste and see that the Lord is good. They're tasting you. It's like getting that little sample in the big Costco, you know, they give you a little sample of pizza and suddenly, well, I do need a whole case of this frozen pizza. I had a little bite of something and it was good. So when you share your story, they're getting a little bite of something and now they want more. Mm-hmm. So it's just your open door. It's your open door.
Yeah. And how, and it can be vulnerable, right? It is, we're not negating that fact that it is a vulnerable place. However, what is the other side of that?
When the other side of it is that people are, especially now more than ever before, their meter is up to read people who are fake or false or projecting an image. And there's a lot of, I could go through a lot of reasons why I think this has happened. You know, I think that the movement of the church is wanting more authentic, more relatable, more, we don't want plastic saints. We don't want, you know, even now just through COVID, think our newscasters are broadcast news from people's hotel rooms and with their kids in the background. And, you know, we've kind of stripped away all of the hair and makeup and lights, cameras, action. And we want the real flesh and blood connection that I can relate to you and you can relate to me. And there's a move for just having an authentic experience with Jesus, that we can be Christ followers who are known by our love, and that we can walk through our faults and failures without having, they don't trip me up. They don't disqualify me. I tell people one of the reasons I'm so successful is because I've made so many mistakes. I make more mistakes than most people make attempts. Enough mistakes, it's called experience, and then people pay you well for that experience. Exactly. So it's just a matter of you sharing all of your mistakes that now qualify you for whatever season you're in right now. You're just being honest about, I made this mistake, I made this mistake, I made this mistake, I did this well, I did that right, by the grace of God. This, it's not all about pain and problems, it's the good stuff too. But I don't trust a leader that doesn't walk with a limp. I want to know you're real. I want to know when they cut you that you bleed. I want to be able to connect with people on a level that's relatable and I understand and believe them. I believe their integrity and their authenticity because they were faithful enough to be real with me. I think we are really looking for real fellowship from people.
I agree. I'm thinking, you know, we have no problem donating money or giving to research to discover things, but really what it is you're experimenting in those research places. You're doing experiment after experiment until you get it right. And yet we don't allow ourselves to do that in life, to see it as an experiment. Every time we step out to do something, we learn from it. It's not a mistake. It's an experiment.
Exactly.
<We're> experimenting.
It's exactly that. Having the freedom to fail makes you fearless. When it's okay to cast your bread on the water, you know, the scripture that talks about sow in the morning and sow at night, because you don't know if the morning or the night or both are going to reap the harvest.
Yes.
It helps you be fearless when mistakes are no longer something to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. When a little stumble is just like, all right, that's just another way. It didn't work. Now what can I try? It gives you the courage to be fearless and adventurous, mm-hmm. to have your curiosity awakened and go down paths that otherwise you might not. And it's just, it's a beautiful part when your story is consecrated, when your story has been surrendered and you recognize that all your little broken pieces, the storyteller is making a beautiful mosaic. And mm-hmm. I might not see where this piece fits. I might not understand it. Mm-hmm. And it might even be set off to the side for a long time until it gets to the place where he's building that. And then he drops it in and suddenly, aha. Now I understand. Now that makes sense why I went through that thing. And thank you, Lord, that you worked that for my good. Thank you for what it did in my life. I thank you that I would not be who I am and where I am if I had not endured that season of my life. Now, I don't really want to repeat it. Thank you very much. But I'm going to celebrate and honor what it did in my life right now.
Exactly. It's so good. As we just come to a wrap up here, Wendy, I'd love it if you would revisit that concept of and you say that, you know, your story, no matter what it is the foundation to becoming a fearless woman. And
yeah.
I know you said that it is actually what qualifies you to engage in the stories of other women. Can you just, as we close up, kind of expound on that a bit?
Love to. Thank you. I have a friend named Paige Henderson, and they have a ministry called Fellowship of the Sword. And I love one of her illustrations where she talks about this. Is that it, in essence, it's, you know, we talked about your story as a weapon. It empties the enemy's gun of all its bullets, right? It empties, there's no more bullets in the gun because I've already told, there's no skeletons in my closet. Honey, they're all on the front porch. They're all on the front porch out where everybody can see. And so there's nothing that the enemy can come and put a hold on me because mm-hmm. I'm not trying to protect anything. I'm not trying to hide anything or pretend it didn't happen or pretend it happened a different way or that it didn't hurt me. Because mm-hmm. it's all out here, it's covered in the blood, which means I'm protected. The enemy cannot get a hold of me and tell me a lie about my identity because I have faithfully processed that already and I understand who I am. And this was something that happened in my past. This does not define who I am in my present. So being faithful about your story really takes the enemy's teeth out. It's like a gun, you know, a toothless dog. It can yip at you, but you know it can't bite. That helps you be fearless.
So good. That's so good. And also, as you had talked about this as well, it is a form of, as you faithfully tell your story, it brings healing, probably
it
to
does.
You and to others, right?
It does. It brings a great deal of healing to you. There's something about... It's the reason why people even do therapy, right? Therapy is, in essence, counseling is a healing conversation. We are bringing emotions to speech, things that are swirling around in our subconscious mind. Often, mm-hmm. often when we're asleep or when the stuff that happens in the background when we're not aware typically does the most damage. And so by faithfully having some hindsight, you're in essence, you go fishing for that stuff and bring it up to the surface so that it can be dealt with and it can no longer swim underneath here and cause all of those emotions and even hormones and cortisol and stress and all the things that it releases. Sometimes people just wake up and they wake up almost angry or anxious or afraid and they don't even know why. Mm-hmm. It's because all of that stuff is swirling around in your subconscious that hasn't been processed and hasn't been dealt with. And it's fighting you. It's fighting against your calling. And so if you're really serious about doing what God has called you to do, if you're really serious about fulfilling the mission, then you've got to be faithful to deal with your story so that it cannot take you down.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you for that exhortation. So ladies, you need to be faithful to deal with your story to bring in it, put meaning to the story is what I was going to say. Put meaning to your story so that you can be able to voice what God has called you to voice and fulfill your calling. You know, I was thinking about the scripture in 2 Timothy where it talks about Paul is speaking to Timothy and he's recognizing in him that he was operating in a level of fear. And it's interesting in that verse, it says in verse 6 and 7, it says, you know, he reminded him to stir up the gift of God within you, Timothy, that was put on you by the laying of hands, that was imparted to you, the things of God. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And it struck me as I read this again, even today, I was thinking, you know, stir up the gifts. It's when we stir up the things of God in us, and I believe our testimony, our story, that blood-covered story in our life is a gift to us.
Amen.
A gift that we are to pass on to others. As we stir that up to bring it forth and to walk in it, steward it as God has called us, it actually causes the weakening of that fear. It causes the fear to lose its power in our life. And so I want to encourage you today, whatever God has spoken to you today, I want to encourage you to don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Take time today and say, God, what is it you want me to do with this? What are you saying to me? What's that next step you want me to take so that I can be faithful to walk in the fullness of all that you've called me to do and be the fearless woman of faith that you designed me to be? So I'd love it if you put in the comments, what is your greatest takeaway right now in your aha? And I will put Wendy's website down below here. I'm going to put it here quickly in the banner. And just as I do that, Wendy, what are any last words that you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, if you're struggling with this, like we covered so much in such a short time, if you would like to know more about, you know, how do I deal with fragmentation to lead to integration to wholeness? How do I handle hindsight that leads to insight to outside? If you go to that wendykwalters.com, right there on the homepage, there's a banner to click that it's a free webinar. There's no cost involved and notes. You get notes to download that would take you through that in a more systematic approach. That would kind of give you an introduction for how you can find that clarity of vision for your story. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to offer that just as a blessing to you, that could be a blessing to you to take it a little bit further. And I would just encourage you in whatever way that to handle your story. I'm a huge fan of journaling or writing because there's just something cathartic about it. And or even if it's a matter of finding a faithful friend that you can tell your story to, whatever it is. And even asking God, sometimes I get with people and, you know, we have a way of things that assigning them, putting them in a room and locking the door. And it's a little bit, it takes some courage to say, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to go into that locked room and let you bring that memory forward that I've wrapped protection around because it was too painful or traumatic or whatever. So, you know, it's not you just go at it willy-nilly, you go at it intentionally with Holy Spirit. And it's awesome if you have a friend or a peer or a mentor or a counselor, if you've got some stuff you really need to work through, you know, to have someone there as the things come up. It's wonderful. It's a great unraveling, I say sometimes, and it can be almost a little bit unsettling, but I want to encourage you to stay with it because God's going to begin to take all those broken shards and put a mosaic together. That's beautiful beyond anything we could create on our own. All the little fragments come together and you're going to be able to see so much more meaning and purpose and celebration and joy and victory. And courage will come to you simply by being faithful to process your story. Some of you need to write a book. Some of you need to write your story. Some of you need to put that testimony out there. Some of you just need to integrate it into the things you're saying. But I want to encourage you to be faithful to process your story and know what its meaning is. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood of the Lamb so that you can overcome and everyone who dares come inside the story with you gets the blessing of the covenant, the blessing of the victory.
That's so good. I know that journaling was a huge part and still is a huge part, you know, times in my life where God did tremendous healing, tremendous clarity came as I journaled, as I wrote and just unedited wrote and then listened to the Spirit of God. And yes, I'm not sure who made that comment because I can't see your name there, but often deliverance comes. We experience a level of deliverance because God is then bringing an awareness of what are those lies that are holding us back? What are those doors that we've opened that have created strongholds in our life? And as we respond to what the Spirit of God is saying to us in that, as we, as he helps us to attach meaning to the story and to create that masterpiece, that mosaic, as Wendy was talking about, deliverance will come, because when you know the truth will make you free.
That's right.
And so I want to encourage you to take what you've learned today and engage in that process, and don't hold back, because God has so much in store for you, so much. And it's time, ladies. It's time. It's time. The enemy knows the power of your story because it is a weapon against him, and move in that direction. Say, you know what? I've got a weapon. I don't care what comes against me, because I can overcome. Because Jesus overcame, I can overcome.
That's
by
right.
The blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, his working in my life has qualified me to walk in this way. And I'm, you know, you use that against the enemy and you see what happens. You'll just see mountains begin to move that were once trying to stand in your way. I get fired up over this because I believe that God is raising up his daughters in this hour to understand who you are in a whole new level. The enemy has tried to keep you down. He has tried to oppress you. He has tried to lie to you. But you need to be diligent to know, what does God say about me? He's the only one that matters in terms
That's
of
right.
my identity. So I'm exhorting you, don't be passive. Take action, step into it with just a passion and a vengeance against the enemy where he has tried to hold you back. If you want to go back and listen to day one of this challenge, I shared something with you in terms of Psalm 68 that talks about the damage that you do to the enemy's camp when you step forward and speak and deliver the message or write the message that God has given you.
Amen. It says the Lord gave the word, and blessed was the company of women who published it.
Exactly. Declared it, delivered it, whatever it might be, whatever translation.
It's all so right, many ladies. Different translations.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. What a reservoir that came from you today. And I just appreciate your willingness to share what God has deposited in you, and to share your story as well, to be a gift to those who are hearing. And I look forward to connecting with you and staying connected with you as well.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa.
You are most welcome. Well, ladies, I will let you go, and I will encourage you to go back and re-listen to those messages in the last few days that you may have missed. And don't just listen. Go back, take notes, journal, ask the Spirit of God. Even what we talked about earlier, how is the Spirit of God whispering to you? Don't just push that aside. Take time, let the Spirit of God speak to you, and then act on that. Faith without action is useless, is dead. And so I want to encourage you to, now is the time to step into your calling, to be fearless, because the Spirit of God within you has given you everything you need. And if you need help with that, you will have opportunity as this challenge goes on to be able to gain clarity, to be able to gain the skills that you need. If you need skills to be able to speak in such a way that is going to resonate with your hearer, but don't let the enemy take you out. Don't let the enemy give you any more excuses. Wonderful. Thank you everyone for joining us today. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. We'll have another great guest, and make sure you listen to the replays. Have a beautiful day. And remember, today is the day for you to be fearless.